Dan Prescher for International Living. Donna Tabor lived a rich, full life right into her 50s. Then she decided to follow her heart, and she joined the Peace Corps. That was 16 years ago. And her first station was Granada, Nicaragua. She's been there ever since. If you think she might have relaxed a bit after her Peace Corps days, you'd be sorely mistaken. Donna has so many irons in the fire that it's hard to count them all. And that's good news for other expats in the lovely colonial town of Granada, because Donna always has some way for them to keep busy and give back to the community she's made her home. We catch up with Donna and get her expert advice on living, working, and getting the most out of living abroad in this edition of Finding Your Overseas Paradise. Donna Tabor, thank you so much for being with me on the show today. It's a pleasure to finally meet you. We're here in Granada, Nicaragua, and you've been here for how long?
It will be... Oh, my gosh, it was 16 years on the 3rd of September. That was yesterday, wasn't it?
You've been in the city for 16 years.
I have. I came here when I was 52 years old as a Peace Corps volunteer.
Yeah.
And I was assigned to Granada, which was a very different Granada back in 96, I guess it would have been.
Yeah.
Very different here. It was mostly like the rest of Nicaragua. And I was the only Peace Corps volunteer in Granada for 2 years. And I loved it, so I stayed.
Cool. What was your assignment here? What were you in Granada to do as a Peace Corps volunteer?
I worked with Casa de la Mujer, which is a women's center, and I started a computer training center, the only one in Nicaragua, well, not in Nicaragua, but in Granada at the time. There were no computers here.
Mm-hmm.
That was not my assignment. That was what I decided I wanted to do, which I had that choice. And I taught English, and there were no English schools or classes at the time. And I also worked, I also worked with teachers in the high schools, and we set up a small business training course for high school students to kind of encourage them to think about a small business. Mm-hmm.
So I know you've seen a lot of changes here, and I know that your volunteer work has not stopped with the end of your Peace Corps tour of duty, but we'll get back to that. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from in the States, and was it the Peace Corps that got you on shore, or were you thinking about that beforehand?
I was always thinking about working in a different culture and a country in need, and I did a lot of volunteer work at home before I came here. I actually was a TV producer before I joined the Peace Corps, and all of my documentaries that I produced were of social concern for the community. And I kind of got hooked on that. You know, it was nice to know that you could do something that changed a little piece of the world to make it a little bit better. And I always had that in my heart. And the Peace Corps seemed to be a good testing ground for me. I thought, well, 2 years in the Peace Corps, see if I can do it in another country.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I obviously could.
Yeah. Where was your hometown? Where were you based?
I came here from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually was born and raised in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, a small town, which is known for its Little League World Series.
So you got into the Peace Corps. Was Nicaragua your choice, or were you posted here?
I was posted here. They did ask what region I would like to go to. I said Latin America.
In the years that you've been in Granada, as we said, 16 years now?
Mm-hmm.
You've seen huge changes. What was Nicaragua and Granada like when you first got here?
Well, let me tell you this. The word tourist was not a word that I knew in Spanish. I don't think anybody knew what a tourist was because there just were none. There were no NGOs here when I came. There were a few internationals working in little individual projects, but not very many. Not very many English-speaking. The people who did speak English were people who had fled the country, who could afford to leave the country during the revolution, lived in the States, and came back. So
and
there
came
were
back,
those
yeah.
few English-speaking people.
And now, of course, Calle Calzado is lined with restaurants and bars and shops.
Calle Calzado was actually mostly boarded up. A lot of those people had not yet returned from the revolution. And there was one guest house there where I stayed. It was 30 cuartavas a night, which would be about a dollar and a half today.
Yeah.
And no restaurants, and I think one little beer and chicken place, and other than that, nothing, really.
You were a U.S. woman on your own in Nicaragua post-revolution. What was that like for you? Did you have security concerns, or
I really did not. I never have been that kind of a person, so I guess it didn't transfer here, mm-hmm. and perhaps I should have, but I never was hassled. I was helped more than anything mm-hmm. by people. People were very helpful to me. A few times I was accused of being in the CIA because the Peace Corps,
sure.
You know, just brought that feeling to people, to some people.
And over the years, has that changed for you? Have you seen the security situation change in Grenada? Because our listeners will be concerned with the quality of lifestyle and the safety and security they might enjoy here. Have you seen changes in that over the years?
I have. And sometimes I'm not sure whether it's in the warnings of the police that say, be careful, don't do this, or of other people, mm-hmm. or whether there is that much of an incident. I will say there have been incidences. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of American males have been attacked in their homes. Mm-hmm. Some people have been, you know, accosted on the street, held up or robbed, but I can't say that it's very different from when I came here because I never had that problem, but that's what goes with a bigger city and what goes with people who have money.
More people, more mm-hmm. money.
Mm-hmm. More and that's what goes with poverty, really.
Yeah. Tell me about the expat community here. You've been here for 16 years. Mm-hmm. You've seen them come, you've seen them go. What kind of people stick here? What kind of people are happy here? And what do they do? How do they entertain themselves?
We do have quite a cohesive expat community here. There was a time when nobody could cross the border from Costa Rica or anywhere without my knowing who they were, because mm-hmm. it was refreshing and kind of nice to find a new face here and somebody who was going to stay. But it happens, you know, it just happens, and then you become used to it, and then all of a sudden when I look back, it's like, I don't know half the people that are here anymore that are expats, you know.
Yeah.
Those that I do know, we have a nice cohesive group, a very nice social group. We have, like, movie dinner night once a week. Well, I'm sorry, once a month in one family's home.
Mm-hmm.
We have library meetings in another home. You know, there are different kinds of things that we do.
But you keep yourself extraordinarily busy with your volunteer work. Tell me what you're mm-hmm. doing now. What kind of irons do you have in the fire?
If you have 2 hours, I would tell you. Yeah, okay. I have two schools for children from families in need.
Mm-hmm.
The children come from barrios. They do go to public schools for half a day, which is the way it is in Nicaragua. Schools are only available to children half a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then that other half of the day, they come to one of my two schools. So we have professional teachers teaching them, plus international volunteers. And they get help with their homework. They get tutoring. And then we add refreshing kinds of things like art and music.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of music, we have a program called Rhythm in the Barrios. We have volunteers from Spain and also Nicaraguan music teachers.
Uh-huh.
And we teach keyboard, guitar, flute, violin. We have one trumpet in one of the schools. And I think we have 12 schools open now that have our Rhythm in the Barrios adjunct to their school. It's a great program. It really is. The kids do concerts and play in their communities. And
mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful program.
Mm-hmm.
A very popular and much needed one is our animal clinic called Casa Lupita.
Mm-hmm.
And primarily we're a spay and neuter clinic because of the many street dogs that we used to see and don't see as much anymore because we're doing our job. But we also treat injured dogs on the streets, stray dogs that are having malnutrition. We try to find homes for them. We're very fortunate to be able to do that in many cases. And at times we're able to ship one or two to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We don't encourage that because there are a lot of shelter dogs that need homes in the States. They don't need to import them from Nicaragua. But
if you fall in love, you fall in love.
That's the way. We have one Tonya over there now that's going to New York City to live this week on Delta Airlines. And we have a husky living in Winnipeg, Canada, where it should be living and not in Nicaragua, obviously. So that's a very important project, actually.
You're keeping all kinds of expats busy.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that you suggest to expats when they move abroad? Not necessarily just to Nicaragua mm-hmm. or Grenada, but anywhere. Expats have their choice of ways to occupy their time, but volunteerism mm-hmm. seems to be probably the best of both worlds. It keeps you occupied and gives back to the community.
Right. We do encourage it, and believe me, we have places for everybody. We don't get a whole lot of them because a lot of people are here to buy property and they're fixing up the property and, you know, they have their own agenda. But we have a couple who teach English to the police, for instance. You know, we have several expats here, one woman from Canada and others from the States, who are running our lending library that we started a couple of years ago. And that's a real important project here, very important for kids especially, and encouraging the love for reading, which is not a big thing in Nicaragua, but we hope it will be. Several do help in different ways with the animal clinic. Not working at the animal clinic, because everybody doesn't like dogs and cats, but they do donate dog food or whatever it is that we need. You know, they come through. So
you've seen, you mentioned the expats that come down to buy these lovely colonials here, and there's been a lot of movement in the real estate market that I've seen just in the short time that I've been here. Do you find that that's affecting the relationship between the expats and the locals? It must drive real estate prices up very quickly and probably out of the reach of most of the people who could afford a home here.
That's true. I think even when a lot of these homes were at their very lowest price, most Nicaraguans couldn't afford them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's good that they're being restored and refurbished. In some economic sense, it provides employment for a lot of people that wouldn't be working either in building, constructing, designing, buying the furniture, you know, having the furniture made, gardening. All of that is offering some kind of employment to people.
It brings
that
employment and money into the community, sure. Mm-hmm. You've been here for 16 years. You've worked in the Peace Corps. You've dealt closely with the community. What's the biggest single piece of advice you might give to somebody who's thinking about moving to Grenada or Nicaragua or anywhere out of their home country?
I would say test it first. Don't come down here for a week and say, oh my gosh, I want to spend my life here. Mm-hmm. You know, I think plan on staying maybe a couple of months and really get your feet wet and see the rest of the country before you just come to Grenada and say, well, I love it here. Because there are other parts of Nicaragua that are beautiful also. And plus, that is, this whole country is going to be your home. You know, whatever happens in northern Nicaragua is going to somehow affect you too.
Right.
So I wouldn't come down here and just fall in love with the first colonial home you see and say, this is where I'm going to spend my life.
What is your opinion of the other places available in Nicaragua for expats? We know that León is coming up on the radar. San Juan del Sur has been popular with surfers for years and years. Is there a place that you like especially?
I think Corn Island is very nice, but it's
on the Caribbean side.
Yeah, it's a totally different culture, especially for people who don't speak Spanish or don't intend to learn Spanish. At least you speak English there. It's a beautiful place and could use development. Ometepe Island is really something to discover and look at. It's beautiful and like paradise also.
Yeah. Right offshore, down by the turnoff to San Juan del Sur, you can see Ometepe, right?
Exactly. Actually, driving from Granada and going down, you can see the volcano over there, too. Yeah, you can.
Beautiful. You have so many things going on here. What's your next big project? You sound like the kind of person that always has something.
Yeah, I keep thinking of them. Not too far, about 7 miles outside of Granada, is our city dump where all the garbage is dumped. And actually, it's an amazing place because if you drive towards it, you cannot see the end of it. I mean, you just see miles of dump of garbage. It's something I cannot describe. It's pretty terrible. The terrible part of it is there are children and families that are digging through that garbage looking for whatever they can salvage to sell or use in their own homes. It's not healthy, obviously. It's would be deplorable to us. None of us would know anything about this, where we live in the United States or Canada or wherever. My plan would be to start a little school for the children that go there, that live there on the dump and around the dump, and maybe a little health station of sorts. Do something developmental there that would help the families that live there, because there's nothing there for them except garbage.
Oh. Donna, there are going to be a lot of single women listening to this who have thought about going abroad and are wondering if there are any special considerations for them being abroad in Latin America. Any advice that you can give to the single gals out there that might be thinking about taking a trip on their own?
Yeah, you'll probably be hit upon. You know, this is a poor country, and people are looking for ways out, and you might look like marriageable or somebody that could help somebody get to the States. So expect that, and, you know, be decent about it and be diplomatic, but it will happen.
Good advice. Donna, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
This has been my pleasure, believe me.
Sign up for International Living's free daily postcards at internationalliving.com/radio and get a free report on the world's top retirement havens. These free daily postcards will give you more information on living the good life for less overseas. Thanks for listening to International Living Radio. You can hear more episodes of Finding Your Overseas Paradise at internationalliving.com/radio.